Right now, it's just really a great privilege of mine to be able to officially introduce Pastor Farouk, who has been, you know, he and Tarim and their family have been a part of our church now for 2 years, and just been just a wonderful part of our church family. And I just, Heather and I talk about it some, and I said some of this on Wednesday night, but sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by the way that the Lord works. And Pastor Farouk and Tareem, I know have been a blessing to the whole church family, and it's been a joy for us to be able to partner with them in getting the gospel into Pakistan. And just the testimonies, boy, if you missed Wednesday night, man, I think we only recorded the audio or the sermon portion of it. But we got to see some video testimonies of some of the people that have received the Little Flock magazine and have been recipients of just sort of the work that as a church and some other churches have partnered in doing. And I just sat here in the front row and cried. I know that surprises you. You can't picture it. But just to hear the way that the Lord is working, and, you know, this family suffered a lot to get here, to be able to make it to America, and had to flee for their lives to be here. And you just think about all that difficulty that they went through. And now the Lord, and Pastor Farouk and I were talking just briefly about this, because he was a pastor, of course, back in Pakistan. And but since they've been here, now the number of lives that they're able to touch is actually greater. And just like, who'd have thought that the Lord would work in that way, to that you have to flee because of persecution, flee for your life, and that the ministry gets bigger? I mean, just only God could do something like that. And it's just, and sometimes I just can't even believe it. We heard some of these testimonies and just people just who love Mrs. Jan and who think Sister Sandy is a Pakistani. And they were doing some kind of a marriage conference based on some of the things that I wrote for the magazine. And I just, boy. And all of you who pray or contribute financially, we have a part in that. And who'd have thought Spokane Baptist Church would have a ministry in Pakistan? I mean, who'd have even dreamed such a thing? And then beyond that, Farouk and Tareem are just have become just such dear, dear friends of Heather and I. And we just love this family and just consider them just part of our extended family. And Heather and Tareem just our sisters have just found each other. And Farouk has changed my life. I'm not even kidding about that. There are some things that just spiritually that I have struggled with for years that people have tried to talk to me and try to encourage me on that are just hard. So you know how some of those deep things. And Pastor Farouk, God's used him to minister to some of those areas in my life that no one else has been able to speak to, that God has just used him to just open fountains of life, just deep in my own spirit. And so we just love this man and this family. And so it's just a joy to have him come and present the message this morning. Now, I messed with his PowerPoint. So he might be slightly thrown off by that. I just want you to know that that's not his fault this morning, if he struggles with that a little bit. But if you would just help me in just really welcoming Pastor Farouk as he comes and preaches to us this morning. So.
Morning. This morning in 9:15 class, I was sitting over there with my wife, and I thought these two TVs, they divide husband and wife. I was looking on this screen, my wife was looking on this screen. Then Brother Don and Sister Kathy, they were sitting in front of us. Don was sitting this side, Kathy was sitting this side. And poor pastor was standing here. Well, I'm so glad. My heart was filled with joy and thanksgiving to the Lord that how he held my hand and brought me in this Spokane Baptist Church family. We are really encouraged and blessed to be part of this family, and the Lord is using us. There is no qualification in us. There's no We are not well-educated, well-qualified, but the Lord has made us qualified to serve him through his Son, Jesus Christ, by living in us through his Spirit. So whatever we are, as Paul says, we are by the grace of God. It's just his grace. So he takes us and makes us to live for him. I believe that it is very easy to die for Christ, but it's hard to live for Christ. And when he's making us to live for him, he's also enabling us with his grace and mercy. Today is, as Pastor said, it's concluding day for our mission week. And in last 2 years, we've been here. And I believe that mission week is not a reminder for this church. It is a celebration. Every year we pray for missionaries. We send love offerings, gifts, and we remember them every day. Every Wednesday, every Saturday, we pray for them. We write them handwritten notes, which is difficult these days because the quickest way is to send email. But we take time to write notes for them, and we send them by mail. So this is, the mission conference is not a reminder for us, because Spoken Baptist Church is already working and has heart for the mission. So it's just a refreshing. We just tell and encourage each other that the Lord is working. Wednesday evening, I had the opportunity to share some testimonies from my country. And actually, those testimonies, they were for me. Yeah. And primarily for me and then for you. Because I started this with faith, and I didn't know what is happening the other side of the world. We were putting tears, we were putting our efforts, we were putting our talent, time, and treasure, everything we had, we were putting in this little flock. And I was asking God, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Even though the first day I had the confirmation, yes, this is what I want you to do. But over the years, doing the same thing, writing, printing, distribution, so I always prayed and thought, and I was a little bit nervous. So I believe that all those testimonies came to me by the Lord so that I will be fueled, I will have energy to keep on going, keep on working on the work the Lord has given me. So I just want to thank all the brothers and sisters who wrote cards for me to appreciate the work in Pakistan. Please keep praying. We need prayers. So as this is the concluding day for our mission week, I thought I should say some things from the Great Commission. And my aim with this sermon is that by the end of the sermon, we will always have the challenge to take the mission as personal. We have the mission on our heart as a collective, as a church, but let's take it as a personal, take it to our heart. So it's the very famous chapter in the Bible, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. And wherever you go, wherever you travel, you meet Christians, they almost have memorized this. The other day I was at school with my children for their science expo, and I looked at the wall, and there were words, "Go ye therefore," and then they had the world map carved on the wall. And almost every Sunday we talk about the mission, the Great Commission. So I thought I will share some things from this, and at the end, I will challenge you that we all have the mission on our heart as a personal. So let's start by reading this text from the Bible. Come out. Okay. Verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples came away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this wonderful opportunity that we are here and you are here in the midst of us to bless us with your word. Lord, we pray that you help us to focus your word. Let our minds not be distracted, but focused on your living word. Help us and guide us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these words, we believe, we know that this is the final moment of Jesus' life on earth. He's about to leave. He's to go where he came from. And perhaps disciples are a little nervous, maybe worried, and maybe thinking what is going to happen. And we know that when Jesus died, their hopes died. We read from the Bible that everybody went away. But when they saw their risen Lord, their hopes came back. When they saw their Lord risen, their hopes came back. Because that's what it is. Resurrection gives hope. But sadly, their hopes were the same. They were not changed. They were the same. The Bible says, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Which tells me that they have seen the risen Lord, but still their hopes were the same. They are still thinking about the physical Israel. If the Lord, being a Messiah, is going to restore the kingdom to Israel right there and then. But the problem was they did not know that Jesus came on a worldwide mission, which he has already accomplished. And if you remember, when Jesus on the cross, he said, it is finished. Which tells us that the work which he came to do, he did it. It was accomplished. He accomplished it. And it was the shout of victory that it is finished. And when we read in Mark chapter 15, verse 38, it says, when Jesus said, it is finished, and he gave his breath, the veil which separated the most holy place from the holy place was torn from top to bottom. Now the noticeable thing is that it wasn't torn from bottom to top, but from the top to bottom, which tells us that this work which Jesus finished couldn't be finished by human efforts. He himself did it because he could do it. God in flesh, not human effort. Human efforts couldn't do it. This curtain was 30 feet high and 60 feet high and 30 feet large. And the historians say that it was about 5 to 4 inches thick. Oh, Caesar couldn't cut it. Men couldn't do it. So what man couldn't do it, God did it. Amen. What man couldn't do it, God did it. When he gave his breath, the veil was torn into two. And actually, this is the real gospel. This is the real gospel, that now man can have access to God freely through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Do you remember Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, when God was speaking to Abraham, what did he say? He said, in thee all the families of earth will be blessed. In thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, that blessing was not material blessing. That blessing has nothing to do with material. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, we read, Paul is saying, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify heathen. Justify means that God is putting right whole humanity with himself, which means that God is breaking the wall between man and God. He said, God was foreseeing that he's going to justify heathens. So he spoke to Abraham and said, in thee, all nations will be blessed. In thee, all nations will be blessed. So this is the mission which Jesus was accomplishing. And he accomplished it. And to reach the whole world, he sent his disciples. When he was about to leave to his father, he gathered them. There were 11. And it says, go and preach the gospel. Teach the nations. Baptize. And tell them to observe all the things which I have told you. This was the Great Commission. But when the Lord said, go, he didn't just send them. He didn't send ordinary people. I'm not saying that they were special, superhuman. I mean to say that God sent them with the requirements. At least two requirements Jesus said they have to have. In this text we read, it says, then 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. This is the first requirement of going into the world and preaching the gospel. Worship is not an ordinary word here. The Greek word is used proskuneo. Proskuneo means that you are becoming slave to somebody. Proskuneo means you are submitting to someone else's will voluntarily. Maybe some other people will tell you, well, this is not a real worship. It's just an act of reverence. Well, it's not an act of reverence. It is a pure act of worship. It's a pure act of worship, which is only due to Heavenly Father, which is only due to Almighty God. Proskuneo, when disciples bow their heads before Jesus, they knew that they are not just giving a respect to their teacher. They were worshiping him. And that worship means that they are saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. And no turning back. Amen. That's proskuneo. Proskuneo is not just bowing heads before a personality. Proskuneo's worship means to give all of your life. What do you read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? The whole sacrifice, living sacrifice, head to toe. That means our whole being is being submitted to the will of the Father. Whole being. There is an interesting word in the Bible used over and over again. I'm not sure if you have heard it. It's doulos. Every time Paul introduces himself, he says doulos. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, the doulos of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, and Timothy, doulos of Jesus Christ. Well, doulos means bond servant. It doesn't mean just a servant, bond servant. And when Paul was speaking about being doulos, his eyes, his focus was on Exodus chapter 21, where slave voluntarily would like to stay with his master for his entire life. And what he will, when a slave decides to stay with his master, the master will pierce his ears. And all he has to say is two things. The doulos had to say two things. Master, I love you. And the second thing he would say, Master, I want to stay with you all my life. And that's the worship. That's worshiping him. Doulos. Coming to him as a bond. Well, somebody told me, you have forgotten Jesus said, you are my friends. Yes. John chapter 14, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, yes, from today onwards, I call you my friends. But they forget the previous part where Jesus said, if you do my will, then you will be my friend. Remind you, Abraham was God's friend. Why? Because they had coffee together? No, they were used to play Uno together? No. Abraham was God's friend because he did whatever God told him to do. But the interesting word, doulos, when we come to worship him, that's what it's mean. Doulos, becoming doulos to Jesus Christ. Whole sacrifice. This is the first requirement. It's been 2 years in this church. I have never heard this song singing. Pierce my ear, O Lord, my God. Have you heard this song? No? Take me to your throne this day. I will serve no other God. And Lord, I am here to stay. That's the worship. And this is the requirement. First requirement the Lord wants from the people who wants to go. He doesn't send just everybody, go and preach my word. No. He doesn't say that. This is a special commission only for those who decides to be doulos, who decides to be his worshiper. Worship him. This is the first thing. But there is one problem with this text. Let me read it for you. Verse number 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is very confusing. 11 people, and it said some worshiped and some doubted. Well, how many people truly worshiped and how many people doubted? What was the percentage? 5 doubted and 6 worshiped, or 3 doubted, or 7, 8 worship. There were 11 all together. And it surprises me again. These 11, they saw Jesus healing. They saw Jesus raising dead. They saw Jesus being crucified on the cross. They all saw Jesus rising from the dead. And some who were doubted, they said, we don't believe. I will believe him if I see his scars, put my hand in them. I will believe him. So why? Why they doubted? I don't have the reason. And I don't have Bible verse to explain this why. And I prayed and I prayed and I didn't have the answer. But there is something which the Lord told me, particularly on this one. They doubted. The Lord said, the emphasis is not on doubt. The emphasis is on sending. Well, if, trust me, if I was Jesus, and 11 disciples are bowing me, I will say, Thomas, you get up. Peter, you stand up. John, you get up. You guys leave. You still have some doubts? Go home, study the scripture more, and when your doubts are gone, come and join me. I will send you to win the world. Well, here's the point. This is the mixed group. Weak and strong. Weak and strong people. People who have firm foundation and people who have doubts. Do you have doubts? Do you have struggles in your life? The Lord doesn't send you away. He doesn't send you away. He keeps you. He keeps you. You have doubts? You qualify. You have problems? You qualify. You are struggling with the Bible passages? You do qualify. Because this mixed group, weak and strong, the Bible says they turn the world upside down. Actually, they turn the world upside right.
Yeah.
Not upside down. Because turning the world upside down is a negative notion. So actually they were putting the world upside right. Mixed group, strong and weak. They put the world upside right. Well, if you are a struggling Christian, but you have worshiped the Lord, come and join. You qualify. Number two, requirement number two, spend time with him through reading the word and praying. The text says when they, our scripture, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them. They went to that mountain which was appointed for them. Spending time with Jesus, with him through prayer and Bible reading in order to listen and obey. Now, it's very important that we always listen and obey. You can't obey unless you listen. In order to obey, we have to listen. Have you seen people carrying Great Commission on their head, but the commissioner out of their head? Great Commission is there on head, but the commissioner is not there. So we have to carry both the Great Commission and the Great Commissioner. The soldiers who don't listen to their commissioner, they always die. They suffer. They pay the price. So the second requirement is always spend time with him through prayer and reading the Word of God. When you're spending time with Jesus, he might stop you from doing some things which you think you are doing right way. Do you believe that? Read the book of Acts. Paul was stopped. The Bible says the Holy Spirit stopped him from going to Asia. Well, the people in Asia, they also needed the gospel. People in Bithynia, they also needed gospel. But it said the Spirit of Christ didn't allow them to go there. This happens when you are continuously, every day, listening to him who has sent you, so that he can guide you where you should go and where you should not go. Every day, listening to him, spending time with him, you might want to become the person who win 3,000 people in one sermon. But I mean, God can stop you from doing that. And he can ask you to run after that Ethiopian man who is traveling in the desert. Which one would you choose? If I have my personal choice, I would like to become the person who wants to win 3,000 people with one sermon. I wouldn't like to run after that one Ethiopian in the desert. But the disciples, they were listening to God every day. They were in everyday communication with their commissioner. So spending time with the Lord is very, very important. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9, it says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Do I have this verse on here? Yes. Oh. It says one night. And then Acts chapter 23, verse 11, it says, "And that night following, the Lord stood by me and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness at Rome as well." Now, what is the significance? What is the importance in this message? I believe it's not the direction. It's not the well done from the master. I believe it's the name. It says, "The Lord stood by me and said, Paul, Paul, keep working. Keep working. When you spend time with the Lord, you will hear this whisper. The Lord is speaking to you every day. It's not just a matter of hearing the commands from the Lord, but it's a matter of hearing your name. When you preach, when you share the gospel, there is a soft whisper. Don, Debbie, this is what the Lord wants us, to spend time with Him and always listen to Him. That will make us qualify. Worship Him and always spend time with Him. And there is one more thing in this verse. If you look at it, it says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in vision." Nighttime. When it was time for him to rest. That means whole day he's preaching, sharing, giving testimonies, but at night he's spending time with his Lord, hearing, talking to him, listening to him. So it is for us. As we go forth, as we go, preach the gospel, worship him, and listen to him. Okay, with this, two requirements. The Lord gives us motivations. Three motivation. Three things which compels us to go, which force us to go, motivates us to go. And the first one is, he said, "I am with you. I am with you." Well, in general sense, God is everywhere. You believe Jesus is God? He didn't have to tell them, "I am with you," because he's everywhere. Psalm 139 is a very interesting song. Psalm, it says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost part of sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. I thought the darkness shall cover me, but the night shineth as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee." Well, we know that God is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. But when Jesus said, "I am with you," he didn't mean being omnipresent. That means that he's offering his personal presence with his people. His personal presence with all those who are going to preach, who are going to go forth and preach the message. Do you remember the Christmas story? Actually, this is the first introduction of Jesus Christ in the Bible. The angel appeared to Mary, and he said, you will bear a son, and he will be Emmanuel. Now, what's the meaning of Emmanuel? God is with us. God with us. And remember when Jesus is going back to his father, and he says, I will be with you. He is Emmanuel, but for everybody, he's Emmanuel in general sense. But for me and for you who are taking his commission, he provides his personal presence through his Holy Spirit. When Paul was preaching the gospel, he spoke to him personally. And that's what he does with every single person. He did it 2,000 years ago, and he's doing the same thing today. He's providing his personal presence to everybody who wants to preach the gospel. Only God can say, Peter, you go to Jerusalem. John, you go to Judea. Hey, other one, you go to Samaria. And the others, you go to the uttermost part of the world. And I will be with you all. Wherever he sends his disciple, whichever parts he sent his disciple, he went with them. Well, it's easy for us to go when the commissioner is high power, when we have no choice to deny the commandment. But it's joyful to go when the commissioner is telling you that he will be with you. He didn't send us alone. He said, I will go with you. Jesus is not with us physically, but Jesus is even more present in the world today than he was when he walked on the earth. Everywhere. My friends from Pakistan, they call and they tell me, God is with us. We are working. And I say to them, well, God is with us too. Yeah. He's working. Yeah. Everywhere. Believers have his personal presence with him. Jesus was with his disciples through his Spirit, and he's with us today with his Spirit. So this thing motivates. The first thing that motivates us is the second one. Jesus said, I have all the authority under heaven and in earth. Only God can say this. Jesus has the authority on heaven and in earth. Only God can say that. None of the prophet, teachers, miracle workers, or high official can say that. Psalm 115 verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but earth he has given to the sons of men. And then Psalm 89 verse 11 says, the heavens are thine, and the earth is also thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Jesus did not say that I have the authority in heaven and on earth and expected that they will believe. But through his ministry in 3 years, he showed them his authority. He showed them his authority over sickness and above all over death. He could raise the dead. But in my opinion, the greatest authority he had was on the word of God itself. Do you know that he had authority over the Pentateuch, the written word of God? He said, well, it is written, but I tell you this. No prophet and teachers, they can't say that. Only God can say that. This is written, but I tell you this. So he said, I have authority, and therefore go. So we go with his authority, not just on the sicknesses and death, but also on the word of God, written word of God. Third one. It is a commission. Well, this is great commission. It's one of the lessons we used to teach in our LTI, Leadership Training Institute. And I remember once I was asked to preach on this, and one of the men, he approached me and he asked, "So is this an option? Is this a choice? Or necessary or compulsory?" Well, when you say a great commission, there is no place for choice. Commission is a commandment which you have to take. You can't leave it. I asked him, "When your wife says, 'Honey, go and get some yogurt from the nearest store,' how do you take it?" He said, "I take it as a commission. I don't take it as a choice." Well, if you take your wife's word as a commission, why do you have a question for Jesus' word when he's saying go? There is no choice. It's not a choice. It's a commission, great commission. We have to go. We have to go. The world needs Jesus, and we must go. It's not a choice. It's commandment. So whenever you read this word, "Go ye therefore," there's no choice in that. When you have worshipped him and you're spending time with him, the Lord says, "Go," and we must go. Now the question is, where do we go? We read Bible accounts when Jesus is departing from his disciples. He gave some clear instructions: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the whole world. That's a very clear command. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47, "And the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Okay. All nations, but begins at Jerusalem. Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, verse 3 and 4, Jesus was speaking to his disciple and he said, "Go and preach the gospel, start at Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world." Some people take it as strategy, that this is the strategy. First Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the world. And they do that. This is actually what the Lord is telling us. But when I was reading this in my context, I thought it's option more than a strategy. Sometimes it's very hard to start at Jerusalem, where people know you well. It's hard for you to preach the gospel to your sister, to your brother, who is your Jerusalem. Sometimes it's difficult to preach in your family. That's your first Jerusalem. But when you go to other people, unknown people, you are more courageous. So I believe this is first, it is a strategy, and then it's an option. If you cannot start from your family, you don't have to worry about that. Keep them in your prayers and go to Judea. Go to Judea. And if you don't find yourself fit there, the whole world is open for you. I took this statistics from the book I love, Operation World. I'm not sure if you have heard about that. Operation World. We use that book to pray for the nations. In our prayer meeting, it says that 1,510 language groups are still unreached in the world. 1,510 language groups. So where do you want to go? Find your place. In the 9:15 time, Pastor was talking about sending some people to Seattle to help plant the church and help the pastor there. Go there. Join that. Go and help them. Wherever the Lord is calling you, wherever the Lord leads you. But going is the first step. Now when you say gospel, begins with go. If you don't go, the gospel doesn't complete. So don't say gospel if you're not ready to go. Okay? So where to go? The whole world is open for you. Start with family. If not with family, with friends. If not with friends, start somewhere else. But you must go. Okay, now, how to go? How do I go there? I was reading a story about a gem shop. A very rich businessman entered into the gem shop, and the salesman was explaining him about a gem he was interested to buy. The salesman told him all the details he had about that gem. But at the end, the businessman said, "Oh, okay, sorry, I'm not interested." And he was almost leaving the shop. But the owner of that shop was looking at the conversation going on with the businessman and the salesman. And he ran and he grabbed that. He requested that businessman, "Please stop, listen to me. 2 minutes, please." And the owner of that shop, he started explaining about the gem, the beauty. And the businessman was willing to buy that gem. And the businessman asked that the owner of the shop, he said, "Well, why I didn't buy the gem when your salesman was explaining this to me?" And the owner said, "Well, he's the best salesman in my company. Best. But I love gems." Go with love, not with the knowledge. Go with love. Love the gem. The most precious gem in the world is gospel. If you love gospel, you will go with love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "The Lord, the love of Christ compels us because we are convinced that Christ died for all." We are convinced. The love of Christ compels us, pushes us, forces us to go. Even though we don't want to, but his love forces us, compels us to go. And how do we go? Go with a deep desire. Deep desire. Today we read our text from Acts chapter 26 and verse 29. I will put it up for you. It says, "And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Do you know the story behind this verse? Paul is standing in front of the proconsul, and he takes this opportunity to share his testimony, and the word of the Agrippa in verse 28 says, "And Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian." He told the story, and Agrippa said, "You almost converted me to be a Christian." And verse 27, he says, "You are mad. Paul, you are mad. Much knowledge has driven you crazy." So I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. The only thing I have is, I have here the deep desire to see every living creature becomes Christian. Every living creature bows their head before Jesus Christ. That's what is happening in the time to come, Philippians chapter 2, when every knee will bow down before him and confess that he is Lord. But this is the time too. where he has the desire, strong desire, to see everybody get converted to Christianity. I believe it's the severe kind of greed. Severe kind of greed. You see people and you see them as dead people, and you have strong desire to come them, to bring them to life. It's a strong, strong desire. Let me share with you another verse from the Bible. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "And she said to her mistress, 'Would God my Lord was with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy.'" Do you remember this story? Naaman the leper. They have a little girl in their house as a slave. And that little girl, she sees her master has a leprosy. And she expresses her strong desire, saying, "Would God, my master was with that prophet." The Lord wants us to have that kind of desire when we read the Great Commission, when we worship Him. He wants us to have that great desire. "Would God my Lord was with the prophet at Samaria." Would every Christian say this? Would God, every person, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? That's the personal, deep desire for having mission. Numbers chapter 11, verse 29. "And Moses said unto him, 'Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophet, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.'" These are the words from the great missionaries in the Bible. Would God bring every living creature to Christ? I would to God that my cousin would come to Christ. I would to God that my family, the whole family, would come and worship Jesus. Would God, my dad friend, my dad granddaughter, my dad grandson, would come to know Jesus Christ? That's how the Lord wants us to have this deep desire in our hearts. My friend was laughing with me. He said, "Please don't put this on, saying mission deep in my heart." Because sometimes deep things deep in your heart, they don't come out. So when we have this deep desire, I'm not saying that keep it in your heart somewhere down with all the other desires we have. I mean that this desire has to be the strongest one, the most active one, the most you want to have accomplished in your life. The last thing, how do you know? How can we tell if we are going with love and deep desire? I was working with special need people. Last week was my last week with them. And a 21 years old girl, she approached me, hey, Mr. F, you know what? Guess what? I said, what? I am going to Hawaii. Well, exciting. So what are you doing about that? She said, I have told my caregiver not to schedule me, and I have told my guardian to save money for me, and my family is going to organize the trip for me to Hawaii. And I have bought some beautiful clothes too. Well, that gave me an extraordinary insight. Even people with the disability know what to do when they have something deep in their heart. She was too excited to go to Hawaii. And the first thing she did, she unscheduled all her appointments. Second thing she did was she told her guardian to save money for her. And the third thing she was doing, appointed somebody to organize the trip for her, ticketing and booking hotels. Now, do you have deep desire in your heart about missions? You don't have to. We should have all the answers if we have this deep desire. But let me give you three things which I always share with people. Give your time. This 21-year-old girl struggling with so many disabilities knew that she had to spare time for this because she wanted to do this. And this girl also knew that if she wanted to accomplish her tour to Hawaii, she needs treasure. She needs money. She told her guardian to save some money for her. And the third thing, time, talent, and treasure. So she gathered, put all these things together to make her desire come true. Now, is this your desire? Mission is your deep desire? Then let's make it happen. Spare our time. Put our talents in this. And I will not say empty your pockets, but ask the Lord how you can do it. There are not three options. There are not three options. If there are three options, I will be willingly to give my time and not my treasure. There are not options. If you have three of them, come up with three of them. If you have one of them, come with one of them. But let's express our deep desire in actions. If the desire is in heart, it has to be seen with our actions. So my challenge to do for you is this today, that when you're thinking, when you're praying and asking the Lord to give you the burden for missions, pray particularly for yourself so that He will give you and guide you where you have to go and what you have to do. There is one song we used to sing in our daily devotion. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. Just come to Him and He will equip you with every instruction you need, with every detail you need to go and fight the battle for Him. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. For the thank you, Pastor Farouk. That is a challenging word and an important one. And I took a lot of notes, and I trust you did too. And we want to have we always have a little time of invitation at the end of our services. And this morning it's going to be a little bit of an unusual invitation because the burden, as Pastor Farouk expressed at the start of the sermon, and one that I want to reiterate again how important this is that our desire as a church is not that we would just send money to support some missionaries. Now, we want to do that. But the more important thing is that we be personally involved in this. That those missionaries are not just like the hired staff that we send out to go do missions. But that it's something that we're doing. That we're a part of this. And obviously we want to be missionaries ourselves here in Spokane and in our families and our friends. And I really like the way Pastor Farouk put that. Is like, hey, if you don't want to go to Jerusalem, then go to Judea. And if Judea is too tough, get a map. Amen? I like that. That was good. There's a lot of good stuff in that message. But whatever it is, we want to be a part of it, personally involved in it. And so I want to just talk, and I know that we're just about out of time, but we just want to do one thing here as we close, two things, I should say. And this is going to be our invitation for today. The first thing is in your worship folder, and I grabbed one, but it has none of the things in it that I want. In your worship folder, there is a giving a pledge card. Do you have that there? Does somebody have one, Lorene? Now we're in business. Thank you, sister. All right. So in your worship folder, if you want to dig through and find this right now, I'd encourage you to dig this out. You've got these two pieces of paper. Should have been in there. If you didn't get a worship folder, you didn't get one this morning, you can pick one up on your way out. We'll get some by the offering box and by the welcome desk out front. And if you're new to the Spokane Baptist Church, you may not realize we're a little bit of an odd church in that we don't pass a plate. And we're just committed to that. I'm not against churches that pass them. I'm not here to bag on churches that do that. But at Spokane Baptist Church, something that we've just been committed to doing is to not pressure people ever into giving money. We don't believe that God needs the money. Now, there might be some missionaries who'd be like, wait a minute. But listen, the Lord provides. The great blessing in giving is the giving. Jesus said it was more blessed to give than receive, and that is just true. I am telling you, some of the best things, there's a lot of things I spend money on that I am not thrilled about. Our electric bill the last few months has been a bummer. I think Journey's been running a heater in her bedroom or something, because she, I don't know, I don't keep it warm enough in there. It's her birthday tomorrow, so I'm picking on her. Because otherwise I wouldn't. Yeah, all right. There are some things I spend money on that don't thrill me. But my wife and I, every year about this time, we sit down with our budget and we think about, hey, is there something that we can do a little more as far as giving to missions? And we just love to do it. We love to be a part of it. It's different when you read the missionary reports, when we see the testimonies, when you have the missionary of the month, and we see the video, and you know that you have a part in that. It is exciting to be a part of missions. I'm just telling you. And so the way that we do it at this church is... We do like to try to budget to figure out, can we increase the funds for some of our missionaries? Can we take on some new missionaries? We're considering some new missionaries in the Philippines. We're considering taking on HRC ministries. We do them periodically. We're considering doing that on a more permanent basis. But it helps us to budget to know what are people thinking about missions. So we don't want your name on this. Don't write it down on there. We're not following up with you. This is not a high-pressure thing at all. But if God's spoken to you about giving to missions... And you'd like to let us know, if you'd write that amount down on this top card, and then you can tear it off. You turn that top card in, we'll collect all those, we'll add it up. It'll help us to know what to kind of maybe expect in the coming year for our missions budget. And if you would help us out with that, we would sure appreciate it. But again, it's not a name thing on this. The bottom part is just for you to remind you. I encourage you to stick this in your Bible or at home somewhere and just remind yourself about whatever pledge that you've made, and specifically to pray. Every missionary that we have adopted for support has said the same thing. We would rather have your prayers than your money. And last Sunday, we had a tremendous, tremendous sign up with the prayer pledge cards. If you signed up for that, thank you. If you haven't, it's not too late. You can still sign up to pray for a missionary. I told the story about William Carey, who's the father of modern missions. He pioneered, out of the Western church anyway, of purposefully taking the gospel to other countries. He himself went to India and gave his life there to get the gospel to the Indian people. And one of the things that he said to his friend before he left was, I will go down into the pit if you will hold the ropes. And we have some incredible missionaries that we support. If you missed the 9:15 hour, I encourage you to get that online. Go watch the video of that or listen to the audio of that. We highlighted just a few of our missionaries that we have the privilege of supporting. It is exciting what God is doing in some of these places. But they need somebody back at home to hold the rope. And some of that involves money. It just does. That's the world that we live in. They're trying to buy a generator before the rainy season comes in Thailand. They're literally sitting on plastic chairs, meeting under a tarp there, and they are excited about it. It's incredible just to watch the excitement out of dirt and plastic tarps. Of what God's doing in Thailand. There are people that are going to take the gospel into places that many of us can't go. Bible students sleeping on chairs and on the floor in the Philippines to go to Bible college. I mean, there's needs out there that money can help with. But more than that, what they need is for people to pray. One of our missionaries, Brother Warren, up in Alaska, drives across frozen rivers through the winter to get the gospel into some of the remote places in Alaska. And he said, pray for me before you send me a nickel. because I don't want to go through the ice. You've got a wife and a couple of kids, and we need to pray for our missionaries. We need to take it seriously. So whatever it is the Lord's speaking to you about this morning,